Do I have a volunteer to come up here and lead us in prayer? You want to come up and lead us in prayer, Bill?
Yeah.
Marilyn's sick today. Dakota's working. And I'm crippled. And I'm preaching here, and I'll be preaching over at the other church at 11 o'clock and then back here at 4:30. So I need your prayer.
Yeah, I'm mentally crippled, so we ain't got a lot of healthy people here. Okay, great. Lord, we just thank you for this blessed opportunity to be in your house and for the people that are here, and pray for Jim that he's going to preach over there, that souls will be saved, Lord, that you'll give him strength and the knowledge to know what to say and do. And we thank you for Connie and I can't think of her name now, senile. Anyway, we thank you for them blessing us with this time here, Lord, and that you'll take care of them as they go up north, that they'll be an example and be able to witness the people up there. And we just thank you for this day and for those that are sick, and that you'll bless them and help them, Father, and that you'll help them get back here. And we just thank you for all that you've done for us and for this great opportunity to be in your house. And we ask all these things in Jesus Christ's holy name, Lord.
Amen. Amen. I might need that. Thank you, Bill. We're in Revelation, the second chapter, still. Revelation chapter 2. Darla. Just remember the little rascals, Darla. Revelation is the second chapter. Do you have any questions on the book of Revelation so far? Any questions? Any questions on the book of Revelation so far? Have you learned something in church history? All right. We need to learn from history. You remember what Sir Winston Churchill said about history?
Repeat it if you don't.
Those who fail to learn from history are doomed to repeat it. I heard my students here this morning talking about all things during the Dark Ages and what brought on the Dark Ages and everything. What brought on the Dark Ages?
Catholicism
brought on the Dark Ages. That's right. Catholicism brought the Dark Ages. And Catholicism has probably kept more people from believing in God and turned more people into atheists than anything else. I've talked to my biggest success story is seeing Catholics converted, becoming Christians. And another thing that happens to Catholics is because of all of the idolatry that's in it, which is idolatry. Last week, last Wednesday night, I taught on the Mariolatry, the history of Mariolatry. We did that in detail. And the Catholic Church, you know, their ideas of science and about the earth and the creation, the dogmas of the Catholic Church basically is what they go by, not by Scripture. They took Scripture out of the people's hands. Which we're studying that right now in church history in the book of Revelation. Baptists always preached the Bible, didn't they? All down through the ages, they've always preached the Bible. Let's go to, and I'm going to, this is a test today, by the way. This is a test. All right, what does Ephesus mean? What does Ephesus mean? What does Ephesus mean? You remember thing? Any of you remember what Ephesus? That's 2 in verse 1. And what period of time does the church age of Ephesus cover? Huh? 31 to 251 A.D. And then we go to what? What's the next one? We go to Ephesus to what? Smyrna. What does Smyrna mean? Bitterness and suffering. And that covers from 251 to 313 A.D. All right? And then we went to the church of Pergamos, or Pergamum. And what does Pergamum mean? What does Pergamum mean?
Twice married.
Two times married. That's when the church and the state became one. All right, and that covers from 313 to 600 A.D. All right. And then, verse number 18, we have Thyatira. What did Thyatira mean? Thyatira. Continual sacrifice. All right. And that covers from what period of time? 606 to 1517 A.D. Now, then we come to Sardis in 3 and verse 1. But let's go back in church history and let's review some of the things, what happened in church history. In church history, we have the evolution of Christendom's doctrines, and we have the evolution of Catholicism. How did Catholicism actually start? What happened at the Church of Rome that actually got them off on the wrong foot? You remember? There were two pastors vying for the pastorship of the church at Rome. One of them was Cornelius and the other one was... No. Connie, you remember that one? Novatian. Novatian said that the people that had denounced their faith and had gone and publicly... They arrested them. I mean, they weren't pursuing Christians at this time. Okay? But if you were a Christian and they caught you in the act of worshiping Christ, you had a choice. You could go out in public and you could offer a public sacrifice in front of a crowd of people and they would give you a certificate that you had made an offering to the gods. Or you could be executed. And many of those people had actually done that. They had gone out. Their faith was weak. And they had made offerings to these, and they got their certificate. Novatian said that if those people came back to the church, they had risked the people's lives in the church because they would interrogate them under torture, and they would ask them, who were your church members in the church where you were? And if they told them, then they would take them, they'd arrest them, and they would have to make an offering or be executed. Well, Novatian said they had to publicly be baptized again. That's where we have the first Anabaptist. Anabaptist. What does Anna mean? Anna, we're not talking about Anta-Baptist, we're talking about Anabaptist. All right? Anabaptist. What does Anabaptist mean?
Be baptized.
What is it in German?
Wiedertaufer.
Thank you. A plus, brother. In German, it's Wiedertaufer. They became known as Wiedertaufers. In history, who were some of these people that even exist to this day? Name some. Tell me. I didn't tell you this before, Zena. I'm calling upon your own little knowledge now. Who are some of the people today that were descendants and are very well known in religious circles today? They're kind of oddballs because they're very conservative. What are these people called?
Mennonites.
And what else? Amish. Did you know they were Anabaptist in history? That's how they got here. They came down to us today. Anabaptist. The word Anabaptist, they said, you rebaptized again. Now, the Catholic Church will accept anybody's baptism. Did you know that? As long as you've been baptized, don't matter. But the Catholic Church killed people by the millions because they baptized people that came out of Catholicism because they said Catholicism has no right to baptize anybody. They have no more authority. Zip. And that's where we're going to begin right here in these verses today. Now, Jesus organized his church when? You got to have mindset to say on the day of Pentecost. When did he organize his church? During his ministry. He started calling it out. All right? We have in 251, we have the first controversy there in Rome, in the Church of Rome, and that church would become the embryo of Catholicism because they relaxed. Cornelius was a pastor they elected, they were electing their pastors at that time. It was really a democratic church government, not like it is today in Catholicism. Catholicism is an absolute hierarchy. How many of you saw the little thing, the expose on Catholicism on public television here a while back? Anybody? Did any, no one saw this?
They put it on TV, huh?
They put it on television. The whole Vatican is full of homosexuals. Full of them. Absolutely full. And it's been that way since 1123 A.D., by the way. Full. At the Bank of Italy, the Bank of the Church of Rome, is full of corruption and the Mafia. The present Pope, he's trying to clean the mess up a little bit. Francis, he's trying to clean the mess up. But how do you make a silk purse out of a sow's ear? It's not going to happen. You can't clean Catholicism up. John Calvin tried that, didn't he? Martin Luther tried it 500 years ago. Didn't work then. Not going to work today. Leave it. Go from it. I've had students of mine and over the years. I had one student that came. He was a very, very good student. He came to my Greek classes for years, if you remember. His name was Pete. Peter, that was his name. And he came to my classes for years, and he was a Catholic. And he learned, and he got saved in the Greek class. All right? We got a girl saved here the other night, right at the beginning of the Hebrew class. Anyway, he went back to the Catholic Church to convert people in the Catholic Church. He was going to be a missionary to the Catholic Church. That was his purpose in his life. As far as I know, he's still trying to do it. Every now and then, one of them gets saved. We have infant baptism beginning. We have Constantine the Great. Constantine the Great married the church to the state. We have in the, basically the first official pope, I believe, was in 606 A.D., the first official pope in 606. Before that, Catholicism just had to say, oh, well, this is our pope, this is our pope, and they go all the way back to Peter. I guarantee you today, Peter would deny that he was ever a pope. No way in the world. We have in the 500s, we have infant baptism established by law. We have in 432 A.D., if you want to write this down, the Council of Ephesus declared that it was all right to venerate or to worship Mary. Now we have another mediator between man and God, which is now Mary. In the 600s, we also have indulgences. In the 700s, we have purgatory invented. How many of you ever used the word purgatory? Anybody here ever used the word purgatory? I have a lot of times. But the name purgatory is absolutely a fallacy. What the purgatory of the Catholicism is a fallacy. It is an invention. How many of you ever heard of St. Peter's Square and the Vatican, the Church of St. Peter there and all that, or the Sistine Chapel and all of that is in the Catholic Church? It's full of gold and silver and precious jewels. And the way they got that, one of the reasons for it was for selling indulgences, and another for the invention of the doctrine of purgatory. The doctrine of purgatory. Now, the doctrine of purgatory, what the Catholic Church actually says that when you die, that you die in your sin. I don't care if you've been baptized for the original sin or whatever, after you die, you have to go to this intermediate place between heaven and earth, and that's what you call purgatory. Every little baby that doesn't have baptism, the Catholic Church says goes to purgatory. And in purgatory, they have this mythological idea that babies were put on a spit and turned slowly over a flame of a candle until their sins were remitted. Now, if you were kind of a bad guy, but you were a Catholic, and And you died with sin in your life. Boy, this is absolutely opposite of what the doctrines of the Bible state. You were on a spit, all right, but there were flames under you. It was like a barbecue pit. And slowly, slowly refining you. Slowly refining you. Now, if your Uncle Bill died, if you paid the Catholic priest $10,000, Bill could get out of purgatory tomorrow. He wouldn't have to be on that spit for 10,000 years.
I wish that would work. I'd have started saving the instead of college from purgatory.
Well, I'm going to tell you what, it got the Catholic Church. They built the Vatican with it. That's what they built the Vatican with it. People that love someone, if they had land, they'd sell the farm and donate the whole thing to Catholicism. They'd sell the farm. Well, that's what that doctrine. Then we have in the 800s, we have actually in 787 A.D., we have Satan image worship beginning. They began to worship idols. A lot of people that came into the Catholic Church, how did the people convert? How were they converted to Catholicism? What happened? Well, the Catholic Church went out conquering the conquer. Okay? The Catholic Church went out on crusades in the different areas. And in those areas, they take their swords and they would hold the sword at somebody's throat. By the way, the only way of baptism back then was what? Immersion. They'd take them out to the river and march them to the river. And they'd line up on the banks of the river and they'd hold a sword to your throat or a knife, a double-edged sword or whatever, and they said, would you like to become a Catholic? If you do, we're going to baptize you. If you're not, we can slit your throat and just let you roll on down the river. Down the river was washing their sins away and the blood was flowing with bodies. So you got to become a Catholic. Now, a lot of these people that were converted to Catholicism were pagans. And they had a lot of pagan holidays. And they brought a lot of those pagan holidays right into Catholicism. And Catholicism borrowed a lot from the Jews, even though they hated them. They borrowed a lot of things from the Jews. The Jewish priests had big, fancy gowns, didn't they? Did they or not? They had real fancy garb of all type, and they had the little mitres and everything on their heads and crowns, and they would walk around in their finery. Well, Catholicism looked at that and they said, you know something? Our cardinals, they hadn't invented a cardinal yet, and they hadn't invented the bishops yet, and they hadn't invented the pope yet, but they said, boy, wouldn't it be nice if our preachers looked like those Catholic, not those Catholic, but those Jewish rabbis and priests. So they borrowed a little bit from them. What you see today in Catholicism is an evolution that came all the way down through the ages. Now, during this period of time, we had Montanists, we had Novatians, we had Paterines, we had Cathari. In different, these were what Baptists were called. The Montanists. They were a people that were very conservative. The Novatians. Where did the Novation come from? The Novatians? From Novation. And that was church discipline only. The Paterines. The Paterines were called the sufferers. Just like we have in the book of Smyrna. The church of Smyrna, the sufferers. All right? The Cathari. What does Cathari mean? Anybody here by the name of Kathy? We got a Kathy here. You know what Kathy's name means? Pure one. Pure one. The Cathari were the pure ones because they didn't act like the rest of the Catholics. Their lives were different. In history, true believers looked different than the Wild West. The wild people. The pagans. They looked different. They look different than the pagans. Now let's go on a little bit further. In 869, we have the Greek Orthodox and the Roman Catholic, the Eastern and the Western Church divide. What did they divide over? Do you know? Remember? What did the Eastern and the Western Church divide over? What was the division? Over idolatry. Idols. The Greek Orthodox would not bow down to a physical carved idol. They had paintings, but they wouldn't worship an idol. This is what we call the iconoclastic controversy. In 1123 A.D., what happened in the Catholic Church? What doctrine did they invent then? That was the one that's really plagued them ever since. What was the doctrine that they invented?
Celibacy.
From Catholicism, or Catholicism from the pagan world, had priests. And some of those priests were, they took vows of celibacy. How many of you ever seen those monks? The Tibetan monks and the Buddhists and all this. These are supposed to be all living in celibacy. We have confession started in 1215. There's another way. In 1215, if the Catholic priest, it was the only one that could forgive your sins, you had to go to the Catholic Church. How many of you ever gone to confession in the Catholic? Any of you former Catholics at all? All right. You have to go to confession. And you tell the priest your sins. That's what you have to do. And then you're forgiven. They tell you to do so many penance, you have to go do something, don't you? Catholic Church made a lot of money on that confession. That's what you call auricular confession. Made a whole lot more money on indulgences. That's when you could go pay the priest and you could do whatever you wanted to and it was okay. If you wanted to kill your wife, that's fine. Whatever. Adultery, you could have what you call the Italian divorce, you know. Slit her throat. Confession. The Inquisition was started in 1231. What does the word Inquisition mean? What is Inquisition? Are you learning anything from this? Inquisition. How many of you have been to a coroner's inquest? A coroner's inquest. Yeah. If you ever killed somebody, you had to go. I had to go. Coroner's inquest. You have to go to a coroner. An inquest, they ask you questions. Yeah, you're asked questions. And they put you on the hot seat, so to speak. Back in the Dark Ages now, when the Catholic Church, they would take people to an inquest. What would they do to you at the inquest, Brother Roger? Have you ever seen any of that stuff? What were some of the things that they did to you?
Various torture devices.
Yeah. You confess that you're a Baptist, that you're a witch. Baptists were murdered and martyred because they were witches. And even here in America, did you know that? How many of you have studied history, American history? You go back to the Puritans and everything else. You know who the Puritans were taking out there? How many of you ever heard of a dunking chair? Huh? Dunking chair? What's that, Brother Mike?
But you tie in a chair and then lower you down in the water
for
a long time and let you up and see if you're...
They did that in America now. America did not have religious freedom here to begin with, people. Those Puritans, they didn't want anybody else of any other faith on their ground. The Baptists came in there and they started calling them witches. We have the Salem witch trials. And they would take these Baptists out there and they say, you like being baptized? You like baptizing people? They would dunk them out there in the river until the bubbles quit talking and bring them back up. You ready to renounce your faith? Nope. Back down again. Until what? No bubbles came up. And they were dead. That's what you call the dunking chair. They put them in stocks in America. In the Catholic Church, when they did the Inquisition overseas, they would, over in Europe, they would take them and put them on stretchers and pull their bodies apart. Start pulling their joints. They'd tie them on one end and they had a crank on this device that would just pull your body apart. They would put you in a device that had nails in it. on the sides, all around the sides, there were nails, and nails in the top, sharpened nails. And they'd put you in there, and you couldn't stand up, you couldn't lean against anything, and you couldn't sit down. That was a torture device. When you got ready to renounce your faith, just holler, we'll open the door. Or they would take boiling oil, like you're going to fry potatoes in, french fries, and they'd take and stick your hand in it, or one finger at a time. Or take your child's hand and put your child's hand in there. We talked about this before. This is the Inquisition. It means to torture or to question. But they were questioning people under great duress and trial. All right? Great duress and trial. Wycliffe and Huss came on the scene. Huss lived from 1373 to 1415. Wycliffe, 1330 to 1384. These were people that were leaders in other than Catholicism. These were leaders of basically Baptist people. In 1229 A.D., what happened? 1229 A.D. The Bible was completely forbidden and taken away from the people at all. What brought in the Dark Ages? Catholicism. Catholicism brought in the Dark Ages. Now, religion, false religion, does things to people. Do you know that? It kind of dements their thinking. I've always told people, if you're a true believer, don't worry about studying science. Nothing in science and nothing in medicine is ever going to go contrary to the Bible. The more you study and the deeper you look at it, you're just going to understand the Bible more and your faith will be stronger. Okay? These people forbid reading and writing. If you could read and write, do you know how many Baptists were put to death because they could read and write? They were considered witches if they could read and write. Common man reading and writing? I wasn't known. Go back to about 600 A.D. What happened about 600 A.D.? Do you remember? Some of you had your old maps. What happened around 600 A.D.? What began? What came on the scene at 600 A.D.? Mohammed.
The camel god.
Yeah. Mohammed came on the scene at 600 A.D. Everything that Mohammed learned and the Muslim religion has learned today, they learned from Catholicism. One thing that they got right, and Catholicism got real wrong, there aren't four gods, as Catholicism would say. How many gods are there? One. All right? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is how many? One. Ahad. Thank you, brother. A plus again. He even said it right. Well, they said Allah is one God. Yeah. Catholicism was beginning to go into the Dark Ages. And let me just say this. I'm not building up Muhammad or the Muslim faith at all. But do you know that the Muslim faith during that time, when Muhammad united all of those Muslims, you know what happened during in the Muslim world? It was a renaissance. They learned to read and write. They were absolute pagans. Do you know that Mohammed was even baptized, according to some sources, and was a Christian at one time? That he borrowed a lot of things from Christianity, from the Baptist world? From the Baptist? He didn't think anything was wrong with those people until he ran into the Catholics. The Catholics, now, that was a different story. Those are the people that would hold a knife to your throat and ask you to believe or die. So guess what he did? You know, that's a good idea. If I want to have a big kingdom, I can just do like this. And they chased each other across Catholicism, and the Muslim religion chased each other across the Mediterranean Sea for 1,000 years, didn't they? But in the beginning, that the Arab world was united, and they put away all of their pagan gods, And because, simply because they believed in one God, they started getting their acts, their ducks in a row. And guess what was invented? How many know what the Arabic system of numerals is? That's where all of the algebra, and if you go and look at all those temples that they had built over there in that area, that had a lot of geometry in it. They were masters of mathematics and things at that period of time. Now, as they progressed in their ungodly religion, they get up here to today in the 2000s now, and the Muslim world has gone into what? The Dark Ages. She followed suit of Catholicism. Let's go back now to the book of Revelation. Talking about Thyatira, which means continual sacrifice. By the way, this is when transubstantiation was invented during this period of time. In 1100 A.D. transubstantiation, that's when you take the wafer, the bread, and you do magic potions over it and the cup of wine, and you turn it into the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. It literally becomes his body. And then when you take it into your body, when you eat it, it transfers grace to you. All right? That's what they invented at that period of time. These are some of the inventions. Verse number 22 is talking about Thyatira, continual sacrifice. And that's what you do. You continually sacrifice Christ every time they celebrate the Eucharist. Behold, I will cast her upon a bed of sickness. And those who commit adultery with her in great tribulation, unless they repent of her deeds. And I will kill her children with pestilence. Now, is Rome still alive today?
Yeah.
In what?
The Catholic Church.
Old Rome is still alive today. Will old Rome get to the tribulation period? As we look into the book of Revelation, we find one of the biggest players is that the idolatrous woman, the great harlot, and that is Catholicism. The book of Revelation is kind of centered around her in many ways. Rome has never died. The unholy Roman Empire, or what they call the Holy Roman Empire, is still in existence today. I will kill her children with pestilence, and all the churches will know that I am he who searches the minds and the hearts, and I will give to each one of you according to your deeds. But I say to you, the rest who are in Thyatira, who do not hold to these things, who's the rest here? Who do you think the rest here are? The true churches in the age of Thyatira, who have not known the deep teachings of Satan, Deep teachings. What are the deep teachings of Satan that we're talking about here? Transubstantiation, idolatry, Mariolatry. You know, last Wednesday night we studied Mariolatry. In 1854, a pope said that she was immaculately conceived, that she never had any sin to her at all. I think that was Pope Pius IX. In 1950, another pope said, well, she didn't have to, her body, because she was immaculately conceived and she never had sin in her life at all, she didn't have to suffer the grave. So that's when they said that's when they invented the doctrine of the Ascension of Mary. But I say to you that the rest of who you are in Thyatira, who do not hold to his teachings, who have not known the deep teaching of Satan, as they call them, I place no other further burden on you. You know that Baptists were fighting against these things. Baptists were holding up the scriptures, even though we were dying for them. Between 50 and 100 million Baptists died during this period of time. Nevertheless, what you hold fast till I come. And he who overcomes, he who keeps my deeds until the end, and this is jumping far ahead, to the end of the church age, to him I will give authority over all the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of the potter are broken to pieces. I also have received authority from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. And he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now we go to the third chapter of the book of Revelation. This goes from about 1517 to 1638. This is the age of Sardis. And to the angel of the church in Sardis write. Now if you go over here on your little chart, do you see what's going on? We find out that many people are going to leave the Catholic Church because of the corruption in the Catholic Church. Why did Martin Luther leave the Catholic Church? Why? Well, actually, he didn't want to leave the Catholic Church. He was a Catholic priest. John Calvin worked as a Catholic priest, even though he was never ordained as one. He pastored and he worked as a priest in the Dominican and Catholic churches. But what did Martin Luther question? What was the greatest thing that he questioned in his time? What was that diet, the diet of worms that he nailed to the wall? What was that all about?
Indulgences
was the whole story. He said, you cannot sell indulgences. No man in the past has got so much goodness in his life that his goodness can be commuted to somebody else. Indulgence is what he was talking about. All right? We have all of these. We have Zwingli. We have Huss. We have Wycliffe. We have Luther. We have Calvin. We have John Bunyan. John Bunyan, those old Baptists. You know that the book that he wrote is the second most printed book in history? What was that name of that little book? Did anybody or know? Pilgrim's Progress. A little book that John Bunyan. John Bunyan lived 1628 to 1688. And this church age goes from 1517 to 1638, and Sardis means coming out. He who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars are alive and are... says this, I know your deeds, that you have a name, that you are alive and you are dead. Wake up and strengthen the things that remain which were about to die. For I have not found your deeds completely in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, from what you have received and heard, and keep it. The truth keep it and sell it not. That's an old saying. The truth keep it and sell it not. And repent. If therefore you will not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I am coming upon you. But you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their garments. Who do you think these were? The true churches. The true churches. And they walk with me in white, for they are worthy. They are not polluted. He who overcomes shall thus be clothed in white garments. And I will not erase his name from the book of life. And I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now we come to 1638 to 1812. That's getting closer to home, isn't it? 1638 to 1812. Look over here in your little chart. Do you see what's becoming out of this? See what's coming out of Catholicism. What were all the churches that came out of Catholicism at this time? We have what? During this period of time, we have the Church of England arising. Now, what did the Church of England, what did it do? Why did the Church of England begin? Can you tell me? Brother, Henry VIII couldn't get a divorce. You agree with that, Brother X? All right, now what in Henry VIII couldn't get a divorce, so he just took over all the property of the Catholic Church in England and said, this is my church, it's going to be the Church of England. Okay? And then out of the Church of England came a lot of other protesters. What were some of the protesters that came out of the Church of England?
Protestants.
Huh?
Protestants.
Well, the what?
Protestant.
Well, Protestant, the Church of England is Protestant. You have to realize that the Church of England is Protestant. When we have problems in Ireland with the Protestant and the Catholics, We're not talking about Baptist and a Catholic. We're talking about the Church of England and Catholicism. The Church of England and Catholicism have had problems ever since Henry VIII. All right? Henry VIII finally got him a boy. Didn't he? Edward? He finally got him a boy, but the boy didn't last long. And guess who took the throne after Edward? Bloody Mary. Mary, Queen of Scots. All right. And that's when Philip II of Spain, you know, he came over there. He was going to take over. Well, when Mary died, then we have Elizabeth on the throne. She went back to the Protestant side again. We went from the Church of England to Mary was Catholic again, and then we're going to go back to Protestant. And so England was being tore up by all of this. And while all of this going on, how much different are the Church of England than the Catholics? Not very much. Both of them, there's a lot of corruption, there's a lot of crime, so on and so forth. So, in the Church of England, the Church of England became influenced by Baptists. Some of the writings that are fairly good, that you have from Cambridge and everything, you'll find that the Baptists greatly influenced that. John Calvin, Wycliffe, all of these had influence on this at this period of time. And we have the Methodist, John and Charles Wesley. John and Charles Wesley left the Church of England, and they began their little group of people that they studied the Bible in their methods. So they called them Methodists. John and Charles Wesley came to America, and they started having revivals here in church history. And then they went back across the waters, and they went to a Baptist revival back over there in England. And you know what happened to them after they come over here and established a Methodist church over here? What happened over there? They got saved. After they established the Catholic or the Methodist church. The Methodist Church was the most liberal of all church bodies at one time. They were the first ones in America to ever ordain women, the first ones in America to ever ordain homosexuals, all of that. But this is when it came out. We have John Calvin. Calvin preached in Catholic churches, but then he began to tried to make what was what Augustine's idea of the city of God was. And then we have Martin Luther. Martin Luther stood against the Catholic Church on indulgences and ended up being excommunicated, and if it hadn't been for wars, they would have killed him. He just had a real good luck streak. He was in Germany, and now the state church of Germany is what? The Lutheran Church, and we have Lutherans here in America. This is how all these bodies of believers got started. The Congregationalists. Congregationalists were a very, very conservative group that came basically out of Catholicism, but more of the Church of England. Congregationalists, what do you think that name means? Congregationalists. One of the greatest Congregationalists in history was George Wycliffe. Whitefield, that is. George Whitefield. He preached in America, and many, many people, thousands of people would be saved at times in his preaching. These are all the things that happened during this period of time. The Congregationalists, the congregation does the ruling. They're like a democracy. Okay, all Baptists are basically democracies. Every Baptist church is a democracy. It rules itself. Nobody tells a Baptist church what to do. There were associations and conventions and everything, but conventions don't tell churches what to do, and associations don't tell churches what to do. All right? They are gathered together to carry out seminaries, missions, and so on and so forth. Let's see if I can stand up for a moment again. Sardis. He who overcomes shall thus be clothed in white garments in verse number 5, and I will not erase his name from the book of life. Then we go on down to Philadelphia, number 7. And the angel of the church of Philadelphia. Philadelphia is 1638 to 1812. What does Philadelphia mean? It's a Greek word. Philo means what?
I love.
Delphia. Adelphia.
City of brotherly love.
City of brotherly love. That's what the city of Philadelphia. It means, Philadelphia means brotherly love. This is when we have all these mission efforts from 1638 to 1812. The angel of the church of Philadelphia write, he who is holy, he who is true, he has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, who shuts and no one will open, says this, I know your deeds. Behold, I have put before you an open door which no one can shut, because you have little power and have kept my word and have not denied my name. Behold, I will cause those of the synagogue of Satan who say that they are Jews and are not, but lie. Behold, I will make them to come and bow down at your feet to know that I have loved you. All right. Because you have kept my word and my perseverance, I also will keep you from the hour of testing, that hour which is about to come upon the whole world to test those who dwell upon the earth. I am coming quickly. Hold fast, and what you have in order, that no one take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of God, of my God, and he will not go out from it anymore. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from God, and my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Next week, we're going to start right on verse number 14. And guess what time period of time that is? That's the time we live in. God's got a message to us. He's got a message to us. I have to quit early today because I'm going to go preach over here at another church. Do you have any questions? Do you have any questions here? We got a few minutes if you've got questions. I heard you talking about Brother Mike and Rex and Linda and Darlene. We're all talking about church history when we started. What have you learned in church history? When a church tells one lie, it's got to tell 10 more lies to cover that lie up. That's what happened to Catholicism. All right? That's what happened to the Catholic. Young lady, back there in the back, do you have any questions today?
This is all on the TV. I'm just following everything.
You've never heard this taught before. When you teach the book of Revelation, first of all, you've got to teach about church history. A lot of people don't do that. They just jump plumb over church history, zip. If you don't understand what happened in church history, you can't understand the best of the book of Revelation. You can't do it.
I know. It's all
brand new. All right?
But I love it.
Anything else? Remember to pray for this little girl here that broke her finger. How did you do that?
Softball.
All right. Brother Mike's having a lot of trouble with it. He's taking medication right now and going through the ringer. Remember me in your prayers. I've had some mild strokes this week. I can sure tell it today when I'm preaching. And my left eye is in bad shape. Both of my eyes are. I'm going to have to get Rex and Connie to take me down there to their doctor in Los Angeles. I got to go to the doctor tomorrow. And I got to go in the hospital Wednesday. I got to go to the heart doctor Thursday. So I've got a lot of stuff going on this week. Remember to pray for each other. Marilyn is sick and home today. Remember her also. And remember me as I go over there and try to preach over there at that church over there, the Town Country Baptist Church. I'm going to be preaching over there on learning by others' mistakes. Wouldn't that be wonderful if we could do that? That's what we've been learning today in church history. We're supposed to learn from their mistakes, aren't we? Huh? We're supposed to learn from their mistakes. It'd be really good if we could. You don't have to go around that mountain again, do we? Any other questions? Isaiah, do you have a question?
No.
All right. Lana? No. Brother Mike? You ask me questions, I won't be able to answer. Brother Bill?
You
got any questions?
No, you know what, Jimmy, I'm getting where I can stay up with you pretty much.
All right. Today, I was pretty slow. Dr. John, you got anything? No? No question? Did you get the whole book of Revelation before? When we studied, did you get Church Sister in Revelation before at all? A little bit? All right. Those of you that are only getting it the first time, it's real shocking, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's real shocking. My students have, they could teach this. Well, David could get up here and probably teach all this.
Kind of.
Kind of, yeah. That's why I'm doing this, so I can lead people.
Roger would be my helper.
Roger would be your helper.
Yeah, we can do it.
Now, Wednesday night, I've got to go in the hospital Wednesday morning. They're going to knock me totally out, I think, with anesthesia. I'm going to try to teach here next Wednesday. But Roger is my substitute just in case I can't do it.
So everybody pray for Jim.
Roger's kind of shy. You know what's the shyest person you ever saw is me. I don't know if you've ever seen me preach at a different church or a funeral or something like that, but I'm shaking all over from fear and everything. And I'm very shy when it comes to getting up and doing it. You are people that I know. See, you're just like my family. You are my family. I can get up here and just let her fly. But I got to go over there for people I don't know too much here in just a few minutes and see what can happen. What? I hope so. I hope I can give them something good from God's Word. Anyway, we'll start in the fourth chapter. No, not in the fourth chapter, in the third chapter, and verse number 14 next week. Who's coming up here? Brother David?
Okay.